This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Oh, I'm excited. I can't wait. I am so on edge right now. Mike, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I guess I'm getting there. I'm working my way up to it.
Goodness gracious.
Maintain a balance and even strength. Talk about the Falcons. You know, I don't be the hype man. Carl, I've been the hype man before, and I've fallen flat on my face.
I cannot wait to get up there and see what this team is going to look like. I mean, right now, Mike, the excitement is so palpable right now. How do you feel?
I guess, yeah, you could say it's there. I'm amping up right now a little bit.
So I guess Mike won't rise up next season. He'll hashtag settle down. I've got guys saying, I'm waffling, equivocating. No, I mean, look, you know me. We're having fun with it like every other year. Every other season, the same goes for the Hawks, same goes for the Braves, but specifically for the Falcons, I will get amped up, I will get hyped, and I will believe this team's going to win 10 or more games, and we're going to the playoffs.
There we go.
But...
What?
Last 7 years, that ain't been the case.
Oh, that's true.
I even told the listeners, you know, if we can run the ball well enough, Ritter can get the job. I said that. And then I did say 2 years prior, said... Tua was a bum. Don't expect. I had no expectations
Mariota.
That year. I said Tua. Mariota. Tua. I mean, he's got to stay healthy. But yeah, Mariota. A couple years back. Oh. You know, it's been such a weird situation. Now this year, I think people are energized, and the reason you're excited, and a lot of guys are going, "Come on, Mike, get on the bandwagon."
Get on, Mike.
Is because you got a quarterback that you believe in. Maybe the rest of the country doesn't know as much about him as we do, but we believe in this guy.
We do. And everybody reported today. We're going to talk about it because we got a few quotes from guys, again, that spoke to the media today. Caden Ellis, right. Chris Lindstrom spoke, and also Bijan Robinson. Mike, I got to mention this because our buddy Dave O'Brien put this out there. And the Braves lose today. But Strider, after today, said that the Braves' performance has been embarrassing. And he made sure to note that especially this includes his own performance. He said players have talked for 2 months about how they might be saying goodbye to some friends before the trade deadline if the team didn't play better.
Reality check.
100%. So that's Strider. That's Strider right. Today. Here's the deal. And look, I appreciate it because it is honest. You know, he's not sitting there trying to blow smoke.
Right.
But for Strider, this is it's not embarrassing just for us. Obviously, it's embarrassing for the players who are on the field. And he is owning exactly what we've been talking about. And Mike, to say, hey, if we don't get our blank straight, we're going to be saying goodbye to a bunch of guys in here probably when the trade deadline rolls
That's
around.
That's it. And by the way, you might be saying goodbye to Brian Snicker. I haven't heard anything about his contract. He's technically a lame duck. This is the last year of his present contract, you know, with the Braves. And I'm not sure he wants to sign up for any more of this, especially if the Braves are not even going to get near the luxury tax. They don't want to spend any more money. But, yeah, Strider saying that. You know what I like about it? He's stating the obvious. He's calling out his teammates. But the problem is he's not an everyday player. Chris Sale's got that kind of dog in him. Strider's got that dog in him. This is the same problem the Braves had back in the 90s and 2000s. I mean, your big alpha dogs were Maddox and Smoltz and Glavin. You know, and later on, Chipper took that mantle when those guys went away. But you need to have your every – somebody on – begin to hear Ronald say that, you know, or Austin Riley to say that.
Yeah.
You know, or Matt Olson. But Matt Olson and Austin Riley are not wired that way. But, I mean, I love it. You know, Strider wears his heart on his sleeve, but good for him. Yes, it's been embarrassing. Yes, guys are going to be traded because you didn't do your job.
It's that simple. Wanted to mention that.
A little late to hear it. Would have been good to hear this in May as the season was slipping away. But yeah. I mean, but I still like where he's coming from.
I do too. So Braves lose today. Franco says Dukes, man. I'm like Mike on this. I'm tired of all the hype every season. We need to win. Franco, I'm not saying that we're not. We don't need to win. What I'm telling you is there's a lot of reason for optimism. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
That's where I'm at.
We had a good enough team. We were in a position to be in the playoffs. We had extenuating circumstances. You know, that could be the, you know what? If there was a book about last year, extenuating circumstances.
It'd be a good title.
You know, for Kirk Cousins. But yeah, we know what we're able to do. And that was a defense we don't even think is as good as this defense.
I agree. All right. As far as guys reporting today, now we're back to Falcons camp. I just want to mention that Braves thing. Right. It's like,
hey, good. You know what? Again, that a boy, Spencer. I'm 100%. Unfortunately, you know, we needed somebody who was an everyday player to say that before the season got lost. I mean, look, guys can't hit. A guy just basically saying, you guys suck. Maybe not get a guy to hit. But, I mean, it's from a fan standpoint, I don't know. It does feel a bit cathartic. Am I wrong? I'd love to hear a guy actually state what we are all feeling. But nobody in that locker room or clubhouse, I should say, has the balls to say it.
Well, and here's the thing. It's you could have the balls, but you also have to be a player.
You got to back it up.
You got to be a guy that's showing up, too. That's the other part of this. Today, by the way, as we mentioned, guys reported. Tomorrow we're live at camp. A reminder, we'll be at camp every day. Those open practices, guys, all of our shows will be there. Morning Shift Steakhouse, Andy and Randy. We'll be broadcasting live from Hooters, not just tomorrow, but we get into next week. We'll be there Tuesday, Thursday. Then we'll be up there for 3 days in early August straight in the following week until camp breaks, guys, because we're all over this. But today, and one of the interesting things that was said, and this is Chris Lindstrom talking about the rookies, he was said that the preparation, he was really taken back and surprised at how well they played in OTAs and certainly mandatory minicamp. Now, this is not games, but I think game recognizes game. And I also think when you're practicing against guys and you start to realize, hey, this rookie's got a little something. Like, there are guys that you get in camp and you go, all right, I don't know, he's got some work to do. And there are other guys you're like, okay, this guy's ready to play. And the sense I get from Chris Lindstrom is saying, Mike, on the rookie class, he was really impressed. And we keep talking about as a show, we're going to need some of these rookies to perform at a high level, man. Look, it goes beyond Jalen, right? Pierce, those guys are the first two first-round picks. Yes, they have to perform. But we need to get some production. Like, Xavier Watts has got to play well, Mike. I mean, you know, Billy from Oklahoma. We got to get some other guys in this rookie class, the guys we drafted, to really help with this defense.
Yeah, man. This team has got the opportunity. With A.J. Terrell, you know, we talked about, you know, Hughes. Mike Hughes does a good job. Maybe doesn't, you know, check all the boxes for some Falcon fans. But statistically, there are guys that are worse than him. And that's not a ringing endorsement at the corner. But the safety. Jesse Bates is a playmaker. Jesse Bates is one of the top, you know, I think one of the top 25 players in this league. For what he means to this team, you win games because of him. And so you add these young guys in there whose experience is all ball hawking. I mean, you look at Xavier Notre Dame, man, he led college football in 3 years and turnovers. So these are guys that get after it and it totally fits in the Jesse Bates mode. And then how does Ulbrich, you know, mold it all together? You and I have said it for guys who missed the show this week. Where you been? Is the interior of the defensive line. That's the question mark. Can Rook Arororo validate being the 35th guy taken a year ago? And be like the Kool-Aid man, which is going to make everybody better on that defense.
Kyle Pitts strutted into camp today, literally for a moment. Took a slow-mo kind of walk and a strut. And we brought this up because, you know, Kyle looks like he's ready to have some fun. Hopefully he's loose. If you're saying, well, what's the difference? Kyle Pitts over the last 4 years has kind of been just a quiet dude. He's just kind of been there. He doesn't say a whole lot, and not that he needs to, but Mike – you know, his play's got to speak louder than anything he's going to do. But today, to see him have some fun and walking in, and his guys reported, we brought that up to start the show. It's just fun. We hope nothing but the best. We need Kyle Pitts.
Right.
Let's quote Raheem, Mike. We need Kyle Pitts to be the best
Kyle Pitts that he can be.
That's right. That's right.
General manager's on record with that. And his OC said that. But you and I were talking about this earlier. You hadn't seen the video. Day-Day, have we posted that video of Kyle Pitts walking in, doing his little kind of like...
That's what I was just talking about.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but have we posted it?
I don't know.
I want to see the listeners get their reaction on it, because not everybody's seen it. Because I kind of liked it. I mean, I took the attitude and maybe Kyle's like, yeah, I heard all this stuff, and I'm going to play loose this year. You know? Or, I don't know. I mean, or is he just messing with us? I don't know.
I look, maybe at the end of the day, he has more confidence then we're giving him credit for, because I believe Mike, as quarterback, has instilled a little bit of that in him in this offseason and saying, hey, I need you, and I'm going to go to you, and we're going to get you to rock. And if somebody tells you that, like, think about the years that he's been here. Matt Ryan came in. He was great this first season. Then, to Mike's point, we just talked about the quarterbacks that he played under those two previous years, right? And then you get to last year, and there was this sense like, okay, finally he's got a guy that's going to get in the ball. There was no connection between Kirk Cousins and Kyle Pitts.
Small sample size. You know what I mean? There was tiny, like I said, the best game, arguably that road game in Tampa, where he had the two touchdowns, where he really was, you know, and again, was it a check down? Was it a design? See, that's the thing. We get into this argument all the time about Pitts is how much, and some fans just don't get the personal responsibility thing, and they'll never, ever understand where we're coming from. That's on you, man. That's not on us. But, I mean, when you hear guys like Greg Olsen and you've heard Rodney Harrison on Sunday Night Football basically saying this guy is too soft for how big he is and athletic he is, or he's not running the routes, and that's from a tight end. So that stuff is out there, and there's a percent. Those guys are saying it. Other people are saying that around the league, Carl. So is there going to be some accountability? Has he heard enough people calling him out that he's going to look in the mirror and bring some heat, you know, and put the work in, which may be missing?
Maybe.
But then is it too far gone that Zach Robinson doesn't trust him anyway? And there's other weapons. And where does he fall on that pecking order? I would still think in a year he's earning a pretty good paycheck as a top four pick in his fifth year option that he can still be a big weapon, regardless of where he goes from there.
Yeah, you bring up the trust factor. Look, he's got to. I'm talking about the OC. He's got to trust him. You got to trust him until you can't.
Or maybe Penix can be the guy that rejuvenates this guy's career. I mean, Day-Day and I were talking about this earlier. When you look at where the Falcons are, we're just talking about the Cowboys, where the Falcons are going, you're not going to move on from Drake, you're not going to move on from Bijan. All of a sudden, you start running out of money, you know? That's why it's important that Pierce and Jalen Walker and Rook really hit the ground running for these next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it's true. Bijan, by the way, talking about McCaffrey's recovery process is one of the biggest things he learned from the fellow star running back this offseason, talking about his body and getting things right. That's an interesting comment because, again, McCaffrey's going through some injury situations. And, you know, Bijan said, look, I learned a lot just, you know, hanging out. He worked with him for a full month with Christian McCaffrey in L.A. So you want some insight there? That's great stuff. And he says, I think it was really cool hanging out with the vet like McCaffrey, being a brother to me. So, you know, we talk about the edge rushers and the tight ends and all these groups getting together. Well, now you're seeing the running backs and a guy like Bijan saying, hey, Christian, I'm going to come out and hang out with you. And it's receptive. And so, Mike, we think that Bijan's going to be a top three back this year. There's no reason why he shouldn't be.
Hey, if nothing else, how many guys won your fantasy league having Bijan? You know, Bijan was a big part of my team because he was a big part of our team and the way they use him. Still would love to see those. I don't know, maybe we're thinking like a Madden game, bunch formations, getting him out there in motion, just trying to create some mismatches against some of those defenses. Some of that stuff I hope we're going to see. Maybe Zach, by the way, you think Zach expands the playbook? We get a little,
of course.
It's got to be, right? It has to.
Yes. I've said this a ton of times, and I know people don't want to hear it or maybe accept it. You were limited in what you could do with Kirk Cousins because of where he was physically last year. You just were. And even Kirk Cousins, if you watch the quarterback show, he admitted it as much.
I was like, man, this dude, he's legit.
Yeah, I know. One of the big things, and are we going to talk to Grant coming up here? We are, okay, because Braves game is over. They lose again. Strider with some strong comments about the team. We'll talk to him coming up here in less than 5 minutes. One of the biggest things that I took today was Chris Lindstrom saying, and I think this is important for us, not Mike and I, I'm talking about just the fan base. I think we, he's talking about the team, all know there's a responsibility to the fan base and to the city to perform. They know. And I think that's important to acknowledge. We can go up there, guys, and talk about all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Look, they understand that where this is right now is not where we want to be. And they know because they hear it from their friends and their family and their neighbors. They know. Chris Lindstrom is owning this. We know. There's a responsibility to you guys and to this city to perform. Okay, well, let's go do it then.
Right. We talked about being up there at mandatory minicamp. And A.J. Terrell, you know, we just on the record and off the record talking about, you know, some things about, you know, where it's at. You brought it up earlier. He's never been in a playoff game.
It's crazy.
His biggest games in his life were at Clemson, you know, or Westlake, right? He was Westlake boy.
That's right.
So, I mean, you know, now it's time for us to get it in gear. We were on pace to be hosting a playoff game or more last year. But again, that's why when you asked me to start the segment, I'm trying not to. It's hard not to get back to look back at last season.
But
there are some positives to take from it before the wheels came off.
It's easy to get into a rut because it just hasn't felt like it's getting better, and so they got to give us a reason. Mike, he's right about. Like, I'm overly excited because I just feel like again in some of the conversations I've had with people about where these guys are. They know the task at hand, but I also feel like this is going to be a real coming out party for Michael Penix.
Right.
And I think a lot of people, like week six, watching all the specials and the little segments that are going to be had about Michael Penix. And wow, we didn't know he was this good. The arm talent and all this crap right. You're going to be hearing because people have been reluctant to go there. And I think that is part of the excitement for me, Mike. And then, you know, again, we haven't stretched the field like we need to. You have a guy that can do that again. We did it with Matt Ryan. You have another guy now that can do it. Think, how many bombs did Kirk Cousins throw last year? Seriously.
The vertical passing game? Not much.
40 yards or more down the field.
I gotta look at the explosive plays are yards after the catch. You know, Drake.
I'm talking about letting it go and let your wide receiver go get it.
The biggest one, I would say the Darnell Mooney toss in Tampa.
Okay.
About like a 35-yard touchdown.
That was a good one.
You know, where he basically threaded the needle. I was gushing about it because I was sitting right behind a bench.
And the Tampa overtime game was a catch and yak.
Right.
Right?
Right, right.
So that we got to stretch the field, man.
But no, that's the thing with Penix. It's funny because you said that the rest of that's why the Vegas has us at 7.5 because we don't generate the kind of heat that even the Cowboys would because we're just not a brand because we've been so bad. But you're right. Fast forward to week 6 or 7, Tom Rinaldi's in town for one of those soft acoustic guitar music. Michael Penix Jr. when he busted his knee at Washington, he thought all of it was over. You know what I mean? Not that sad start of it, but where he is now, he's a rock star in the NFL and doing the kind of stuff that Jaden Daniels was doing last year.
Hey, man, we've got a family four-pack of tickets to the Premier League Summer Soccer Series, and that's going to happen at Mercedes-Benz Stadium August 3rd. Games at 2 o'clock. If you want to go and you are a fan, tickets are provided by the Premier Soccer League. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. We're going to give you a chance to win those family four-packs right now. One family four-pack right now. Caller number 10. All right? Soccer fan, want to go? Premier Summer League Soccer Series at Mercedes-Benz. All right, Grant McCauley's on the way. Braves finished their series, another series loss, by the way, to the Giants. What does he think about Strider's comments, and how's this team moving forward, man, knowing that the trade deadline is coming? And, Mike, some of these guys are not going to be here. Stukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Let's talk with Grant McCauley, Braves insider, MLB insider as well, covers Major League Baseball for us, and Braves, unfortunately, was another one today. Mike and I were talking, though, about the comments of Spencer Strider, Grant. Brutally honest. And look, I don't know if anybody expects anything less from Strider talking about this is an embarrassing performance, including his own. But again, is that enough to get under guys' skin? Is this a day late and a dollar short with these kind of comments from a guy that, you know, expects a lot of good things from himself and his teammates?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of connective tissue, I guess, with some of the comments that we're going to hear from certain guys at certain times. And clearly, we've gotten to a point in the season where you've compounded the frustrations for all 26 men on the roster at any given time, plus the coaching staff, plus the front office, and obviously the fan base. This has been a disappointment of a season, and it seems to show no sign of stopping, turning around, and reverting to what one would expect to be at least the mean for a club that's got as many talented players and all-stars as this does. But it's just not happening. It hasn't been happening, and we don't know if it's going to happen in the next 60 or so games, I guess. But if the performance we've seen thus far is any indication, then I can understand Spencer Strider's frustration or anybody else's involving how this team has been playing, because quite frankly, and they'll tell you this, it's just not up to the standard that they expect from themselves. Now, I will say that Spencer Strider many times has been, I think, his own toughest critic. Did he make a couple of pitches that he'd like back today? Yes. I looked at that Devers pitch, which was basically off the ground in one hand over the right field wall. I mean, what are you going to do with that one? I think that's just one of those where you have to credit the hitter making the second mistake, giving up a second homer in that inning. I'm sure, probably caused the greater frustration for him. And also, running up that pitch count, not being able to cover those innings, that's another thing Spencer Strider really, I think, you know, holds himself to a certain standard, to go back to that phrase again. So, long story short, the frustrations are warranted. The way out of this, though, the only way out of it is through it. And the Braves, it doesn't seem like, are done with the struggles and the frustrations that 2025 has in store for them.
Yeah, scored 9 runs the other day, then outscored 18-3 in the subsequent games with the Giants. It's our man Grant McCauley with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. I know, Grant, we've gone round and round about, you know, the leadership thing. We've even had this discussion with Alex, and he's kind of like dubious sometimes about having that. But when you hear a guy like Strider say what Carl was talking about, and you know, saying, "Look, we're terrible. We're going to get guys traded. You know, maybe Snicker won't be back." I don't mind it, because I just think, for, I mean, if nothing else, it's cathartic to the fans, because at least someone in the clubhouse is expressing how the fans feel. I just want to hear it from an everyday player. You know, it's almost like back in the old days of the 90s in the Bobby Cox Braves, those alpha guys were Glavin Smoltz, you know, and Maddox. You know, and it just, it's like, why don't I hear this from Austin Riley? Why don't I hear this from Matt Olson or Ronald Acuna? Are they just not wired that way?
I can't speak for all of them in that regard, but I will say this. I mean, if you look back over the last 7 years, at what point have the Braves ever had to look at themselves in this way and say, okay, we have reached the depths of our season, of our career in some cases, if you want to look at it that way. I don't know if that's maybe overshooting it, but either way, the frustrations that is individual and collective for this club, it's piled up, most certainly, but I don't necessarily think it's a leadership problem. I don't think this is, well, guys haven't said the right thing yet, so now they don't know how to play. It's the actions that are going to speak louder than the words. It doesn't mean that you don't want to hear the right things being said by the right guys at the right times. I absolutely agree with you. I just feel like in some cases here, especially for the Braves, they have not been put in this position, certainly not in the middle of July. Would you have loved to hear maybe some different answers that could get them over the hump in October? Yeah, I'd love to be having that discussion right now, and I'm sure they would too, but they're just not there right now, and I don't think it's anybody, any one person having not said something. The frustrations are certainly there. I just don't know if, like, if the public forum is necessarily really going to do much to move the needle for the club in terms of actually putting wins in that first column, which is what they've been trying to do all year and unfortunately have not been able to do, in large part because of the offensive ineptitudes of this club.
You prefer to keep it in-house? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, personally, I think that all of the things that you can work out, whether it's inside that clubhouse, whether it be inside our collective station's clubhouse, I think it typically works better that way. But there are situations where it simply gets too big for that, and it will be much more public, and there will be frustrations and feuds and some axes to be ground and that kind of stuff. But in-house typically is where the results actually happen. But obviously we're paid to talk about it. You know, we're paid to kind of dig into it and find out what the problem is, what the root of it is, and all of those things. So that may not be the most entertaining answer or the most entertaining outlet, but I do think for a club to have a healthy dialogue and communication, a lot of that's going to be away from cameras and microphones.
Grant McCauley with us, guys, after the Braves fall 9-3. Verlander, by the way, gets his first win. 16 starts without a win, and now 14 games out in the division, 10.5 in the wild card. So what's the first chip to fall? Will it be Ozuna?
I think so. And, you know, we've got, what, a week tomorrow, I think, is a week to the trade deadline. So we kind of know where the Braves have been. I mean, it was, at this point, a Hail Mary of come out of the All-Star break, win a series against the Yankees, win one against the Giants, maybe grab a sweep on the road against the Rangers, and maybe, possibly, perhaps, and I've said this on my show from the Diamond, I'm sure people are probably tired of hearing it, but I'm just doing it because the math said they were still alive. Maybe they could push themselves back into it. But I think at this point, whether it's a Pierce Johnson, who could, I think, draw some trade interest as well. I know he's under control for next year, so that's something the Braves may or may not do, depending on how much they get for him. Raisel Iglesias and, obviously, Marcell Ozuna, those are probably the dominoes. In what order, though, it's really hard to say. It may just depend on who puts the call in first and who gives the Braves what they feel like is an acceptable offer.
Rangers up next, and look – as far as the pitchers, I just want to ask you about the pitchers coming and going. Is this what we can expect for the rest of the season?
I think so. And it's an unfortunate reality of where the Braves find themselves, because they've lost 4 starters from their opening day roster. There's no Chris Sale. There's no Spencer Schwellenbach right now. Though both of those guys could pitch again this year. Ronaldo Lopez could pitch again this year, though it might be in relief. And obviously you lost A.J. Smith-Shawver. Now you were getting back Spencer Strider. That's great. Grant Holmes has been a perfectly serviceable, I think, at least middle to back end of the rotation starter. Everything you could have asked for from him, but then it's just a bunch of question marks, whether that's Bryce Elder, bullpen games, call-ups, prospects, guys getting promoted too soon. We've seen some of that as well. There's just a whole lot of questions and not a lot of answers on this pitching staff because the depth, quite frankly, was not designed to withstand this kind of punishment in terms of losing guys for long periods of time.
Grant, good stuff. Tomorrow on off day, guys. We'll talk to Grant again on Friday. Appreciate you, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. For me, I personally think there comes a time where you need to acknowledge the fan base and you need to acknowledge what's going on. They've had all season. We're talking about the comments of Spencer Strider. They've had all season to keep it in-house. And I have no issues. I understand what Grant's saying. And with all due respect, I disagree with him on this because I think there comes a time where, you know, fans are frustrated. Everybody's frustrated with the way the season's going. You just have to acknowledge the obvious. And when it comes from a star like Strider, I think it means a little bit more. Mike, this could have came from a bench guy and you would have went, oh, who cares? So I just think, like, there's a time for that. But I understand what Grant's saying. I don't believe keeping it in-house is going to do anything for us. Guys, here's the problem. We don't have enough. It doesn't matter.
Right. And this is a year where, you know, if you said, okay, you can't hit, well, you're going to have to get by in pitching. You know me. I lobby for it every year, going all the way back. As soon as the season's over and hot stove league starts, hot stove, I'm always saying, get more pitching, get more frontline starters. Didn't get it. But remember, guys, before all the injuries added up, everybody around baseball, even with the shortstop situation being Arcia at the time, remember that? Was everybody thought we were the second best team in the NL behind the Dodgers and one of the third or fourth best teams, you know, in all of baseball. So there were expectations. It wasn't like, you know, we were just, you know, living a pipe dream here inside 285. This team is just unclutch. If you want to get into it, I know Grant does not embrace it, and that's fine. That's his take. I think you got to have some alphas on your team. I think there's teams that have alphas and there's teams that don't. I think the Rangers a couple years ago with Bruce Bochy, that's a team of alphas. You know, we talked about, you know, last year with the Dodgers. Freddie's on that team. And I get guys, gets Carl, they get in their bag, we start talking about Freddie versus Matt. Matt is a good player. He's going to be he's going to have a good career in baseball. He's never going to be a Hall of Famer. Freddie's a Hall of Famer. Freddie's a dog. Freddie, you know, he might have ticked off some of the Latin players because of the professionalism he wanted to see and the attitude that he wanted to see in the clubhouse. And in retrospect, we used to make fun of it. Shame on us because there was some accountability there. We got a team of just dudes. You know, there's no alpha on this team. Ronald is a star, but nobody wants to grab that mantle of leadership and accountability, which does matter because the good teams have it. Philly's got a bunch of guys, right? Mm-hmm. Now, granted, they haven't won a World Series with this core group, but they've got guys that don't shy away from these moments, and we'll talk about these things. Everybody else looks at the ground when things go down for this team.
Yeah, look.
In my opinion, I don't know.
I'll stand on this. When you let Freddie go and you let Dansby go, you lost a lot that we didn't realize you were losing. It goes beyond production. And this is, you know, again, you can account for the numbers, the metrics part of this and go, okay, how do I get to this number? You know, this guy produced 89, a 90 RBI. Okay, I got two guys that can do that, and we'll get back to the number. But you miss the intangible things. So we'll see where this goes. I'm not just talking about this season. I'm talking about with the trade deadline and how they move forward and try to get better as they make some moves for next season. But to me, like, there isn't just one answer, and that's the problem. Braves fans, you want one answer. You want Dukes and Bell, give me the reason why we're here. It's not one reason. There's a bunch of things that have gone into why this has turned the way it has. And so it's not just, oh, well, they need to fix this. It's not that easy.
You know, and then, you know, there's other parts of it. You remember they fired a third base coach or they demoted a third base coach? Losing your boy, EY, Eric Young, losing Wash. Obviously, Ron is dealing with some health issues. He had to step down from the Angels this year. But you lost a lot of accountability in that building, you know, when you lost some of those guys. Just those, you just don't have it. And as we know from Brian Snitker, he's selectively accountable.
Yeah. All right. Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right. I'm going to go full Peter Griffin Family Guy on you here and tell you what's really grinding my gears.
Okay.
I don't know, Day-Day, if you go home the way I go home. City of Atlanta, in their infinite wisdom, is about to create one of the stupidest traffic jams on purpose in Midtown. I'll explain that and the Cleveland Browns
just released an alternate helmet in a surprising fashion. Well, maybe not surprising if you're a Cleveland Browns fan. We'll explain.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
All right, man. Was this a great PR stunt or a complete PR screw-up today, Carl? In the land, in Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns posted a video, it's gone viral now, of a debut of their new alternate helmet, which will be brown with the orange and white stripe down the middle. And they have a helmet, giant oversized helmet, on a barge, presumably on Cuyahoga or on Lake Erie.
Yeah.
And then they do the unveil and they pull the tarp off this giant helmet. And one of the people that's looks like a videographer for the Browns, falls into the water.
Oh.
And then eventually they realize that someone has fallen into the water. Pat Forte has tweeted. A bunch of other folks have got it out there. And so they're unveiling, and someone falls off the raft. Some people are saying now, is it intentional? Oren, what's your take on this?
So apparently, doing some research here on Twitter.
Okay.
According to reports from NFL.com and Cleveland.com, confirm that today's reveal was a smooth stunt on a barge with no such incident. It's edited for satire, poking fun at the team's past mishaps.
Okay.
So the Browns are making fun of them for being the Browns.
If you can't laugh at yourself, right?
Okay.
But it's funny. I mean, it just looks like the person is got the camera and they're working towards the edge of the barge and look out, they fall into the lake. You know? Okay. Which, dare I say, I presume they've got it cleaned up over the years. Normally that would require a tetanus shot if you were falling into, like, you know, the Cuyahoga River or Lake Erie.
Yeah, I would hope. I thought when you said this earlier, I was like, wow. So you're telling me it's not real.
Okay. So consensus is it's a work, as they say in wrestling. All right. I thought I was having one put over on me yesterday.
Did you?
No. This is real. The city of Atlanta. In its infinite wisdom. I had to look this up, by the way, when I got home.
Okay.
I said, this can't be real. So we work Colony Square. We're at the intersection of Peachtree and 14th. If you go south to get on the interstate, you go down Juniper. Juniper turns into Cortland. Cortland eventually goes past Georgia State all the way to the Capitol. And eventually you get on the highway. They have decided, the city of Atlanta, to take what has been three lanes in some cases. Sometimes it was four lanes at one point. But three-lane road down to two lanes is what's called as the Juniper Street Bicycle/Pedestrian Facilities Project. So there's this tower that John Dewberry's been monkeying around with for like two decades. So you know where that is right here? At first, I thought it was some construction attached to that project. They're building islands, concrete islands, so you can't drive down what would be the number three lane. And they're going to have bike paths and stuff. And the idea is this is going to go all the way from 14th down to Ponce de Leon.
They're taking away an entire lane?
An entire freaking lane.
Wow.
I posted this about a day ago. We didn't get to it yesterday because we had all the conversation about Ozzy Osbourne. Now, if you're curious, well, Mike, what's the big deal? Well, there are the only alternatives. You go down Peachtree, two lanes, or you swing over to Spring Street, which is just one giant traffic jam. If you go 14th to go south, you're going to be stuck at the light to get to the 10th and down. It just basically you've added anybody who works in Midtown, and this is people that want maybe have to get over to Inman Park. You just basically added about 10 minutes to everyone's commute, or 15 in some cases. Day-Day, you seen this?
I have, because that was the route I went when I had to go to the airport, I went down Juniper, and I was like, what in the world is going on? I didn't know that's what it was. But yeah, Juniper already from here at 14th all the way, really until you get to about, I don't know, what would you say, Mike, down there by Georgia State.
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
It's
you
pretty,
got,
yeah.
You know, if you go by where the hotels are, if you're familiar with Cortland, that's always a traffic jam. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's the Hove Lane entrance where you go all the way down.
So is this built or they, how?
This
is done?
Permanent. This, they're doing it now.
Okay.
It's already started. They've already jammed up one block. So, I mean, again, guys, if you work in the city, and also not to, you know, again, for those who don't know the geography of it, if you're coming from South Buckhead and you come down around Piedmont Park, and then you come to where Piedmont dives over to 14th, it's going to push that back. You're going to have traffic jams up the yin yang.
Yeah.
And it's also going to make it difficult for us to get out of our building, if nothing else, if it's just to bring it back to what's grinding my gears.
Yeah.
So basically, the north-south conduit is you've just taken out a major lane. So it's asinine. And I looked this up in the city. And
so you don't care about the bike riders?
No, screw the bike riders. Screw them. The hell with that. They got a lane. They can give them a lane.
You don't care about the pedestrians?
Pedestrian. By the way, pedestrians cross. This story was written. Now, again, I'll get in trouble for this one. You do have people that walk around with, you know, bags on their shoes, and it's sad that there are homeless people and mentally ill. Those are the people that are jaywalking. The regular Joes aren't doing that. But now you're jamming stuff up. Atlanta, and I lived in the city for 12 years, and I saw a lot of dumb stuff. This is the stupidest thing they've ever done as far as the city in cahoots with the Department of Transportation. Thank you. I grind my gears on that car.
First of all, didn't know. Secondly, this is going to be a legitimate concern moving forward. To your point, they're not even done yet. When they get done, though, Mike, you don't believe traffic will flow because of the two lanes, not the three, correct?
Matt hits me up. Atlanta reducing Juniper street lanes, the bicycle pedestrian project to cut pedestrian injuries per 2015 urban health data.
I didn't know that.
But here's the rub, he says. Those pedestrians, what I just said, are jaywalking or panhandling illegally, not using the sidewalks. Now people actually work or stuck in rush hour jams, pay the price, longer commutes while lanes vanish. He basically agrees.
Wow,
echoing
yeah.
the sentence.
No. I did hear that about the danger and people being hit.
Yeah,
crossing
it's
the street
unfortunately
and all this
it's people that you know that are just that got issues. You know, I mean, and there is collateral damage for crazy people jaywalking.
So
but,
Mike does not care about pedestrians.
No.
The homeless
no.
or yeah. the bike riders.
No, I mean, a guy coming up to me going, when I'm putting gas in my car and people. No, I really don't care if he gets hit by a truck. If I'm honest, okay, I said it. Okay, the guy in the scooter going against traffic. I don't care.
They're
You're inviting
cars.
An injury.
They're not cars. They're not P1s, Carl.
Thank
That's
you, Carl.
I see that. I see that. I
These guys
P1s.
Are not our listeners.
I,
they don't,
I understand.
They
I,
are
I,
not
I see
our
where
listeners.
He's going with this. Look,
never I, once when I'm putting gas at the gas station have had a guy, potentially homeless or whatever with the proper nomenclature is, come up to me and go, you know, Mike, love the show. It's always the same thing. Hey man, like that? I'm like, and I always go, I'm not giving you any money. And they go, well, blank you then, and they walk off.
They don't go, well, blank you, Mike Bell.
They go, blank you.
You got some spare change?
Derek Romanek just hit me up with the Dave Chappelle meme because blank him. That's why.
Okay.
So the ATL, this is the stupidest thing the city is. I've seen a lot of stupid things done as far as the ebb and flow of traffic. It's like the idiots, they want to put like a trolley on the Beltline, which is, again, makes no freaking sense.
No, that's true. They do.
Stupid.
Is this already impeding your commute?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yesterday, Carl, before I went to see you, Dan, and I waited before I go off half-cocked to at least let me, let's try an alternate route. And the alternate route was unattainable. I sat in traffic for it took me an extra 15 minutes to go down 14th, then to get down to 10th to get on the interstate.
You tried to go another way.
Correcto mundo.
Interesting.
Thanks for taking away Juniper City, you friggin' idiots.
Wow.
Day-day.
Wow.
I rest my case.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't see that many bike riders.
Okay,
Day-Day,
don't you go down this.
No. I'm
don't
just
go
saying,
down
I'm not,
with him.
I've never seen
hating,
a bike rider
I'm not
on
hating
Juniper.
Don't do this, Day-Day.
Not like Mike.
What about the bike riders?
I never see them.
You know what? Get your bike on the back of your Volkswagen and take it up to the mountains.
You know
you
what?
You want to go play Peloton? You want to go play Tour de France?
Well, we got to
do it up in Helen.
Volkswagen riders.
That's, I don't know. I just picked it out of my...
Hey, yeah.
Put your bike in the back of the Subaru. Go do the Comet Trail.
Those are safe cars.
You know what? All jokes aside, you know what it could be now that I think about it? It's probably those motorized scooter people.
Oh, Well, that's a death trap in and of itself.
Because they're always on sidewalks about to run people
and
over.
And you know what? And they need space to operate.
Yes. So it's probably them.
You know what?
They're not P1, so we don't care about the media.
They don't listen to us.
They're people too, Day-Day. They need space to operate.
Yeah. A guy dressed up like a Good and Plenty on a bike ain't listening to us, I can tell you that. Why? By the way, what is that? I know it's
outfit. A Good and Plenty.
Yeah, the ridiculous outfits that bicyclists wear.
Who the hell is dressed up in a Good and Plenty outfit?
The goofy outfits those guys wear. And like, I mean, like, hey, Lance, like that time, Day-Day. Again, infinite wisdom. Somebody decided they were going to have like a bike race or some kind of like run, and this was down on Northside on a Falcon Sunday. Remember, I was beeping about that last year.
I do.
And all of a sudden, like the freaking Peloton is taking up an entire lane. And I'm just trying to get into the CNN lot.
Oh, my goodness.
Enough of it.
No. This is interesting. People are lighting us up. And apparently this is a thing.
Yep. The city is out of their freaking mind on this.
This is a thing.
Stupid. Dumb. Because people still drive, okay? This is still a city where nobody...
What about the walkers?
Screw the walkers. They got a sidewalk. They got a freaking sidewalk.
They do have a sidewalk.
Don't you want to be happy here, Mike Bell?
You didn't need to take a full freaking lane out and block it with concrete and then one stupid lane for the bicyclist. Come on, get out of here.
It is a bad vein for them to do that.
Turtle's a walker.
Correct.
He walks on a freaking sidewalk coming down Peachtree.
He's trying to get to work. He needs space to operate.
Turtle's going to drive a scooter down Juniper now. Believe that when I see it. All right, on to the next thing, which is grinding my gears.
No, I want to stay here.
No, I mean, you got no way to go north-south. I mean, going south, there's no way. It's stupid. You're jamming people up on 14th up to Piedmont the other way. The city of Atlanta.
Is it stupid?
Some idiot. And by the way, the Beltline is one of the greatest achievements in the history of the city, and I love them for it. It's one of the things I miss. Oh. But this is asinine, with a capital A-double-S. Thank you. On to the next thing. Guess what?
What?
Waka, 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 waka. ESPN, friggin' Pac-Man. The NFL's looking to dump all their TV networks.
Oh.
And apparently ESPN's going to buy out NFL Network, and they're going to buy out the Sunday Ticket Red Zone.
Both?
They're going to get the Red Zone going, and they're maybe just... Looks like the NFL's been wanting to get out of the TV business for a while.
Okay.
That's been reported by Variety. So I don't know if that's the case, but Sunday Ticket, and you know where this is going. ESPN's going to put up a paywall, and you're going to pay through the nose with more of this a la carte TV, which drives everybody crazy. And before you tell me to cut the cable, you're still... Like, Sunday Ticket, no matter how you can get it, streaming... On DirecTV or Xfinity, now you're going to have to be paying more because you know ESPN's going to gouge it.
Yeah, direct to a customer.
Right.
So the interesting thing is the NFL was all about, think about this from the league standpoint. Major League Baseball, own network, right?
Right.
Everybody wanted to do this. You go back a decade ago and it was, we have to have our own network because we want to control our content. You know, we want to be able to put stuff out there. And, Mike, now all of a sudden they want to get out of this. And, by the way, if ESPN does do this, it's a monster.
Oh, it's huge.
Because they own all of the college football stuff.
Right.
And now you're talking about pretty much owning all of the NFL additional content outside of what NBC or CBS has. I just feel like now, Mike, now it feels like a conglomerate of nobody's going to be able to top this.
Right. So, I mean, look.
And to a competition point, this is now when you can jack prices because where are you going to go?
It's a monopoly. You know what? It's time for the federal government and some antitrust violations. It sounds to me like some Sherman antitrust rule has been violated. Good luck with that. But it just drives me crazy. More stuff you got to now pay. Again, it was never, you always had to, in my TV, I always got Red Zone for free with DirecTV.
Yeah, well, to your point, when you mentioned this to us in our pre-show, I've been real, you know, these ESPN, they keep having these commercials talking about things are going to be different in the fall, like they're launched, they're kind of doing some kind of relaunch. So, and I've been meaning to look it up to see what that's all about, but it sounds like, to your point, to both of you guys' point, yeah, we're about to be having to pay for every single thing that they throw on that network at this point.
By the way, JB hit us up. City did something on Memorial. Just crazy, man. I mean, guys, we're still a city. MARTA doesn't work like it needs to. We're not a city which should make the transformation where we can just rely on alternate transit. We can't. We use our cars here. Yes, it sucks. I know that we should have planned better. We should have had a big dig, Carl. Had, you know, traffic going underneath the connector. But people still need their cars to get around this city. That's what's struggling. That's why people, why do you think Midtown West is struggling? Got nowhere to park. People still don't, you know, rely on Uber as much maybe as they should.
Mm.
You know, so that's part of the deal. All right, enough of that. Let's end on a high note. Have you seen the new Sydney Sweeney commercial?
No, I have not.
Well,
Take a gander at Mike Bell ATL, just tweeted it. It's a commercial for American Eagle's fall campaign.
Oh, she's not selling soap this time?
Sydney Sweeney is wearing a low-cut T-shirt, like a wife beater, with her breasts sticking out. And then she's working, and she puts the hood down on a Mustang convertible. Looks like a 65, 66. She then slams the hood on the car. Then you see her amazing buttocks in her jeans. She rubs her hands on her butt, then gets into the Mustang, and then burns out.
And what's the commercial for? I was completely lost.
I have no
earthly, all that description.
I have no earthly idea.
Okay,
oh, no, it's American Eagle.
Oh, American Eagle. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
I mean, I knew it was American. I guarantee. Warren, let me do the punchline. It's American. Who cares?
I mean, who cares either.
Could be a punchline for anything.
Yeah,
STP.
That's what I said. The way you were describing it, I was like, what are we talking about?
Could be a commercial for Bitcoin. I wouldn't care.
It wouldn't matter. No, I haven't seen it, so I can check it out. I got to check it out.
Oh, she is glorious. It could be the greatest commercial this year.
All right.
Maybe the next commercial of all time. On that note. But again, if I wasn't the Mustang with Sydney Sweeney, I'd stuck on Juniper because I can't move. Because the nerds and the bicyclists and the people who thought we needed to have concrete blocks taking down a major thoroughfare in our city. That's it. That's all you get from me on that, Juniper. I'm done.
Okay. It is clear that Mike Bell doesn't care about pedestrians, bike riders.
Unless they listen to us.
Walkers. Or scooter riders.
They got a sidewalk. They don't need another lane of a road.
And if I was you, I'd be careful out there if I saw his vehicle coming down the street.
It's what kind Dukes of vehicle does he drive, Carl?
I'm not telling you that. It's Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.